morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. I'm Seth Fine, Deputy Prosecuting Attorney for Snohomish County, representing the repellent state of Washington. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. And this is essentially the same case as you just heard, except that the judgment in the trial court went the opposite way, so that the state here is appellant rather than respondent. It comes down to the same issue. Prior to 2011, it was clear that medical marijuana was an affirmative defense that did not have to be negated in a search warrant application. And the issue is whether that rule was overturned by the 2011 amendment.
By rule, you're referencing State versus Frye?
Correct. As you have heard a great deal, the legislature in the 2011.
How do you view the statement of purpose in 005? Is that identical to the statement of purpose that existed in 2010, or was it in any way modified by the 2011 bill?
It attempted to expand the protections for medical marijuana users. However, it did throw through the creation of the registry. And if you know, the statement of purpose cannot be looked at in isolation, separate from the statute as a whole. The legislature recognized that police officers coming across a grow operation cannot know from outside without conducting a search whether it's in compliance with the medical marijuana rules or whether it's an illegal grow. That's why the legislature sought to create a registry and require police to check it, and that's why they gave special protections for people who were registered as opposed to those who were not. The legislature never intended to put on police officers the duty to find out without knowing anything about it, without a grow, without having the benefit of any registration, whether it was legal or illegal. That's the very purpose of the registry. And then the governor frustrated that purpose by her veto of the registry. So the question then becomes, you know, what happens to the special protections that the legislature sought to give to those who were registered? Does it then instantly become extended to everybody, or does it become extended to nobody? The problem in this case is unusually acute because of the governor's veto, but in a general sense, it's not an unusual problem. Whenever you create a registry, there will be some lapse of time and procedural steps before people can become registered, and until that occurs, no one gets the benefits. And suppose the legislature had provided that on-track horse race betting can occur only at racetracks that are registered with the Horse Race Betting Commission, and then they didn't pass a statute creating that commission, or the governor vetoed it, or they didn't fund the commission, or the governor vetoed it, which amounts to the same thing as the legislature not acting at all, or the governor never named any members to the commission, or the commission never enacted the implementing regulations. What's the effect? Every race course can now have on-track betting? No. No one can have it. This particular search, as it happens, occurred in November 2011, only 5 months after this bill took effect, and a good year before the Department of Health was scheduled to adopt the regulations providing for this registration. In November 2011, had there been no veto, these defendants would not be entitled to the affirmative immunity because they wouldn't have been registered. They couldn't have been registered. Nobody was going to be registered that soon. The regulations weren't going to be in effect yet. And yet, it is suggested to you that because the governor prevented the regulations from ever taking effect, therefore, instantly, everybody gets entitled to the benefits of registration. You know, the court should reject that proposition. There is no registry. There is still protection for medical marijuana users in the form of the affirmative defense that survives the veto of the registry. So as the governor pointed out in her veto message, she was not taking away any protections for medical marijuana users, only the special protections that depended on the existence of the registry, something that has to be corrected by legislative action. And there is legislation pending to try to fix that problem. You know, whether it's enacted or not, of course, we will see. But as things stand, the affirmative defense exists only for those who are registered. The search warrant affidavit provided probable cause that these defendants were not registered because nobody was or could have been at that time. Therefore, this is a valid search warrant, and the trial court erred in holding the warrant invalid. Now, there were some other grounds advanced for suppression and dismissal in the trial court, which the court did not adjudicate. Therefore, the proper recourse is to reverse the order of suppression and dismissal and remand for further proceedings, which would include adjudication of the other defense claims.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Jennifer Winkler on behalf of Mr. Buckingham. I won't take up much of this court's time, as it seems like a lot has been said. I do have a few points to make, and that's that the Kurtz case is, while not exactly on point or really at all on point, does illustrate, as Ms. Bale talked about, how lawyers would read this new legislation. And that's the following statement. Moreover, in 2011, the legislature amended the act, making qualifying marijuana use a legal use, not simply an affirmative defense. And so that's our Supreme Court reading it. Maybe they're doing it a little bit of a cursory treatment, but that's the reading by the Supreme Court.
But we still get to the same point. What's a qualifying use? I mean, so we're sort of,
right.
The Supreme Court didn't address that issue.
No, that's true, Your Honor. But that's the takeaway from the court, is that this is a legal use. And as has been talked about, the legislature intended to expand the protections to go beyond an affirmative defense, adding the language that rather than qualifying patients and others, designated providers shall not be, and not only, this is the previous language, found guilty of a crime under state law for their possession and limited use of marijuana. That language is stricken, and the following language is added: arrested, prosecuted, or subject to other criminal sanctions. Ellis and the Law Review article it relies on make much of the fact that there's
what
no mention of search. Sorry?
What did you just read from? Was that a section of
the That was 102. That was 102. That became 005.
So 102 did alter the pre-existing.
Yes.
005.
It did alter it. It removed the language that appears to be a reference to the affirmative defense and broadens it, essentially. So if we're relying on the rule of lenity, it seems to me that the rule of lenity, in addition to the legislature's explicit statement that we're broadening it here.
What if the governor, instead of vetoing the bill, had signed it and then had received her Christmas card from Ms. Durkin telling her that she was going to arrest all of her employees, and then decided, well, since I didn't veto it, I'm just going to direct the Department of Health to take no steps to implement this legislation. And then I'll come back next session and ask the legislature to repeal. So where would we be if the governor had signed the bill and it had become law, but had refused to take steps to implement it such that there would be no general registry?
I think we're left with the rule of lenity, Your Honor. We're left with the rule of lenity in that
we would be in a different spot, though, because in that case there would be a law that would say this is legal if you are registered.
Mm-hmm.
What's the same is that no one would be registered.
I'm sorry.
Well, no one would be registered.
No one
because
would
the
be.
Governor frustrated that.
Right. But
so what would be
I think that's
why the rule of lenity in that sense. Everybody would clearly know that it's legal as long as you're registered.
Right.
That's what the law says.
Right.
And everyone would know that they're not registered.
I think, you know, I would like to change my position. I think that's a worse position, because if we know that there's going to be no registry, then we can read the rest of the and the average person can read it and say, well, there's no registry, it's impossible for me to register. If I, the average person, read it and say, well, I just have to wait, then I'm going to understand that I just have to wait. But if it's never going to happen, then That's the third possibility. There's going to be no registry. I don't know, Your Honor. I don't know the answer to that.
I'm not trying to pick on you.
You described
something as a worse position, and I don't know whether you meant a worse position for you, a worse position for the patient, a worse position for the governor.
A worse position for my client, in other words. Yeah. Yeah, we're in a worse position. But this is sort of related to the lapse of time. I think rather than horse racing, I don't think horse racing is really the apt analogy. This is medication. What if there was a requirement to, the goal of this, it's not, the goal of this is for this to be medication for serious people with serious conditions. And this is not a horse racing situation. This case is more analogous, as I've tried to argue in the brief, to a situation where the police are confronted with someone who is using medication that is subject to, that is a controlled substance, in other words. The police officer comes upon a situation where someone is using drugs, and the police officer suspects that it is being used improperly. There's no registry that I'm aware of for Vicodin or something like that. It's up to the police officer to look further into it in this situation. I think that the situation is no different. It's up to the police officer to look further into the situation to determine if this is a medical, proper medical use. So it's not a blanket immunity. It's a requiring additional investigation situation, and I don't think that's untenable for law enforcement. So I guess in summary, we would ask that the court affirm the order suppressing the evidence and find that there is no warrant can issue absent a finding that the crime is probably being committed. Given the language of the statute, the police officers cannot make that finding in this case.
Thank you.
So do we have to ignore a plain statement from the Supreme Court in order to rule in your favor?
The general rule about statements from the Supreme Court is that dicta is not binding and that the language of the court addresses only the issues before it. This issue was not before the court, and they made a general statement about an affirmative defense, which exists if the qualifications of the statute are met, which they are not in this case, not in any case. You look at the plain language of the statute, the statute says on its face that the immunity from prosecution only applies if certain requirements are met, including if the qualifying patient or designated provider keeps a copy of his or her proof of registration with the registry established in section 901. Whether you're talking about plain language or rule of lenity or anything, you cannot ignore that plain language, which was not vetoed by the governor and remains in effect.
The argument is that it's manifestly obsolete, that it's stricken by reference. It's stricken.
I don't believe that there is any absolute rule that every cross-reference to a vetoed provision disappears. That wasn't specifically raised in this case, but in the prior case, they're looking at one sentence from a Supreme Court opinion. I think it was AFSCME against State. And what you had there was a statute that said that the Board of Education, I think it was, or the Superintendent of Public Instruction could enact what was to enact certain rules subject to Section 60. Then the governor vetoed Section 60, so the rules were no longer subject to Section 60, but because there was no subsection 60. That's different from a statute which provides certain rights only if a person is registered. Where there is no registry, there you have something, a power granted to an administrative agency, but subject to restrictions that didn't exist because they were vetoed, so that subject to becomes manifestly obsolete. Here you have a special immunity that is only available to people who are registered, and they're not, therefore it doesn't apply to anybody. If council doesn't like the horse racing analogy, but it's the same with controlled substances. Suppose the legislature decided that there was a medical use for LSD, let's just say, to take an example, but people could use the drugs only if they were registered with the LSD Oversight Commission, and then there's no commission or no registry, then nobody can use it. This provision doesn't extend to everybody on a blanket fashion protections that were meant to be provided for only a limited group of people.
The nagging thing about the Supreme Court statement is that you urge it be viewed as not just dicta, but as a statement of fact that applies to no persons.
That's correct.
So in asking us to draft an opinion that describes that statement in that way, is there any particular adjective that you desire to see?
It was addressed to an issue that's not before the court and therefore is not authoritative. Thank you.
Thank you.